Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, September 24th, 2014. With me today, I have two people that always seem to entertain me and make me laugh and smile, and I really appreciate that. Kelly Gaumont, how are you?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing really well. And John Modellaro, I hope you're doing well, John.
Good morning. Yes, I'm doing very well. I got my walk in this morning. I'm feeling great.
Awesome. And and you actually have a device that you can use to track those walks and prove that you're getting off your butt and moving around, unlike many other people.
So go to. Yeah. I mean, when you sit all day writing, you got to get out and move around.
I agree completely. Otherwise, indeed, we turn into blobby potato couchy things, which is great if you're a potato, but not if you're a person. So,
right.
All right. So the first thing I want to take a look at today is the big question, which is, will it bend?
I knew this was coming. I knew this was coming.
Yeah. So
I told you so. I told you guys so.
Yeah. Well.
Back pockets.
We've had this problem before.
iPhones and back pockets do not mix.
Okay, so I have to set the Wayback Machine, Sherman, and fill everyone in. The deal is this video came out yesterday, I think it was, where they're showing an iPhone 6 Plus getting bent, which is not a euphemism for anything.
It's no, there's actually a dude, and he holds the phone in his hands, and he presses his thumbs against the middle of the screen and presses so hard that his fingers start to shake. And sure enough, when you put that much pressure on it, it actually will, in fact, flex. We've seen the same thing with – I've seen the same thing in other phones. There have been ones that have curved slightly. And, in fact, one of those phones was the 5S. A year ago, people started mentioning that it was happening. I think perhaps the size and scale of the new ones is accelerating the process. But yeah, we've seen this is not a unique thing to the new one. It just has a good name this time.
Let me back up.
Oh, Kelly, it has a good name, you say?
It does indeed. Thanks to the internet, who, as we all know, is very quick to slap gate on the end of something in order to imply scandal, has decided that this current thing where part of your phone ends up having a list to starboard is going to be called Benghazi.
Yeah. Well, at least we're away from the gate thing now.
You know, yeah, I'm really glad that it actually turned out to be something different. So as far as I'm concerned, this is only news because people are keeping their phones in their pocket, their back pockets specifically. Yes. The reason this is interesting to me is because I never kept my phone in my back pocket. My first cell phone I got in 1998. If I had put that in my back pocket, it would have felt like I was sitting on George Costanza's wallet and therefore I didn't do it. So once it got to be a mobile phone got to be a form factor that it fit in my pocket, I just leave it in my pants pocket. It sits in the front on the left-hand side because I use my phone with my left hand most of the time, and that's where my phone goes. That's it. The end.
I want to hark back to the days of the Steve Jobs wisdom. Remember the original idea was that it had to fit in your shirt pocket? Mm-hmm. And it was light, and it was, you know, 4 ounces, and it didn't drag your shirt down and make you look too awful because it wasn't too heavy. And then as time went on, our phone got more and more powerful, and we were doing more and more things, millions of apps and maps and all sorts of cool things on the display and weather apps. And so now it's this ultimate internet device, but we still haven't figured out where to put the darn thing. I mean, that's the back pocket is clearly not the answer, especially when you're getting into your car and you sit on it. It's not the back pocket is not the answer for walking around New York because of pickpockets. I've been making
jokes.
It's
not the answer if you head into the bathroom. Let's just get that one out of the way.
Oh yeah, yeah. Huh. Nothing like dropping it in the toilet. So
exactly, and that's the most efficient method for getting it there.
That's why I've been making jokes about a leather shoulder holster.
I know you make the jokes,
James
John,
Bond.
But I know there's people that would buy them. I saw a guy at CES one year wearing what looked like a gun shoulder holster that had been modified to to hold whatever smartphone he had.
I mean, that's a very sensible thing to do. You can't put it on a lanyard around your neck because they weigh too much and they would swish around.
Although you used to be able to. Do you remember there was a connector attachment that let you do that?
And Flavor Flav would disagree with you.
And there's that
boy.
Okay, so going back to the toilet part for just a moment, because apparently that's where I'm rolling today. There's a video out from Square Trade, and they're one of the aftermarket companies that does insurance for smartphones, and they do durability testing when each new smartphone comes out. Their video for the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus is out now, and they show both running videos, so they're playing like a music video at the same time, being dropped into a tank of water, and they're left running underwater for 10 seconds and then pulled out. And they continue to run perfectly the whole time.
Holy wow.
Yeah. The only thing that happened, and I believe this is probably a design feature and not a problem, was that after several seconds, the audio shuts off. But then after they came back out of the water, a couple of seconds later, the audio comes back on.
No rice required.
No rice required. And in their drop test, they couldn't break the screens on either. So they did 4 foot onto the corner, which is where you're most likely to get a lot of these breaks coming from. 4 foot onto concrete, 6 times each, and they scuffed up the cases, and then on the 6 Plus, on one side the display started to kind of come loose from the metal body. But that was it.
Wow. That's a solid phone.
That's a solid phone. And I also spent part of this morning surfing YouTube, not for cat videos, but to find videos of people bending other smartphones. And I found a lot of videos for smartphones that were designed to be bent, like flexible bodies. But then I also found a video of a guy with a Galaxy S3, and he bends it, and you can just hear it cracking and popping because there's so much plastic, and it keeps working. And he's like, nope, see, it seems to be doing okay. And then all of a sudden, boosh, there goes the screen. So when everything was said and done, he had a phone that was a little bit wobbly and had a broken screen. And then the guys that did the iPhone 6 showing it bending, where they have to like really put some serious effort into it, they went and did the same thing with a Note 3, and they were able to warp the body just a tiny little bit, but that thing would not bend. It's also thicker than the iPhone 6, but it's a combination of metal and plastic. So I'm wondering how much of the plastic was absorbing that force so that the metal frame didn't bend.
So we have a problem here. Apple makes the iPhone very thin and beautiful. I've been amazed how curvilicious the iPhone 6 is in my hand. It feels better than any other phone I've ever had in my hand. It looks great, but it's fragile. And so the first thing you have to do is cover it up, put a case around it. And then as time goes on and I do reviews of cases occasionally, you know, I pull it out and I look at the bare iPhone and I go, oh, this is a beautiful device. It's too bad I never get a chance to look at it. So that's another problem. We don't know how to carry it, and we don't know how to have it be beautiful and durable and protected with a good case.
The case thing has been an issue for me since the original iPhone came out.
Yeah.
Because the phone is so beautiful, and each phone has fit comfortably in my hand in different ways. And even the iPhone 6, although I said last year or 2 years ago with the iPhone 5 that I was at my limit for phone size for it to be comfortable. Apple was able to figure out a design with the 6 so that I can hold it, but it is pushing that envelope. I need to increase my comfort level holding the phone, but it will come. I can't imagine anything bigger than this being okay in my hand.
Going back to how we carry it, it just proves my point that a belt holster, nerdy as it is, is the ultimate solution to properly carrying your phone. If these belt holsters have openings in the bottom, so when you push up from the bottom, lift the flap, you can push the phone right up into your hand. You don't sit on it. It doesn't weigh in your shirt pocket. It's fairly secure if you have a U-shaped loop on the bottom of the clip, so it doesn't slide off the belt. Nerdy as it is, I have found a belt holster to be the ultimate solution to carrying this thing around.
You know what I want? And some people will be like, that's stupid. And other people will be like, let's do a Kickstarter right now. I want the hidden gun holster arm thing from the Wild Wild West, where you stick your hand out and then phew, your little derringer flies out into your hand. I want
that for my phone. Yeah.
Wild Wild West. Oh, one of my favorite shows. It's dating me, but wow.
Yeah, well.
That was a fabulous show.
It was steampunk before we knew what steampunk was.
You remember the first season was black and white?
It was. The very first episode had Suzanne Plachette in it also.
Oh.
A little bit of trivia for you there. Yeah. Okay, so we could like go down the Wild Wild West thing for quite a while. But in lieu of doing that, I'll wrap up the whole bending thing by saying all phones are subject to the laws of physics. And it's just a matter of how bendable something really is. And sure, so you can bend any iPhone and you can bend any other smartphone. What it's going to come down to is if we start seeing this as a widespread problem over the next few months. And if so, then Apple has a big issue on their hand. And if not, then this will fade away like so many other early launch scandal things. And so now we just have to wait and see. So we are getting close on our time. But there's another thing that I wanted to take a look at real quick. And this is the news that Apple bought a company called Press. And that's spelled P-R-S-S. And Press is a company that kind of spun out of a digital magazine design project. So that there's a magazine called Traveler, which is T-R-V-L or something like that. So travel without any vowels in it. And it's won awards, and it's one of the first, if not the first, digital-only magazine that's been published. So it was a big thing for the iPad. Press came out of that because this was the tool that they developed to be able to make their magazine. And then it became its own company, and other people are using it. And so they have this easy-to-use WYSIWYG editor for putting together interactive magazines, and then the back-end tools that they need to get that published so that people can buy issues. Apple now owns that company.
The question is, how energetic is Apple going to be on this project? Are they going to really, really push it so that the whole community realizes this is something they need to get on the bandwagon? Or is this one of those things like Apple's done in the past where they acquire this technology and then there's stumbling blocks and they don't want to cross swords with the competition and then there's issues and then serious publishers say, well, yeah, it's nice, but it doesn't meet our needs and we don't want to pay Apple this and that, and it kind of peters out. So that's what I'm wondering about. I'm hoping that this is, and it's a little late too to the game, but I'm hoping that Apple's really going to take the bull by the horns on this. Followers of Kelly and me have known we've talked about this before, and we've lamented the fact that magazines aren't really what they should be on the iPad for a lot of different reasons, in terms of manager subscriptions and in terms of layouts and things like that. So I'm going to be following this with keen interest.
I'm very interested in this also, especially because I come from a design background. One of the big problems I've seen with digital magazine adoption is a lack of interest in investing in making a compelling digital version of a print magazine. And
right.
Then also the cost of distribution, because you as a magazine publisher, you're paying either in bulk for a set number of downloads,
mm-hmm.
or you're paying per download. And so for some magazine publishers, that in and of itself could be cost prohibitive. So if Apple has a way that makes it easy for people or publishers to make compelling interactive magazines and offers them a very affordable way to get those out into iPads, then Apple could be in a position to have a good win on their hands with a press purchase.
Yeah, I think one of the ingredients needs to be a more transparent and more consistent subscription experience too.
That would be a very cool thing as well. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. All right, so we are like out of time, and we also have an exciting bit of exciting for us bit of work ahead of us, because iOS 8.0.1 was just released while we were recording. So now we have to go check out all the new and exciting stuff that's in that.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of stuff that showed up in release notes.
Jeff, that's awesome. You're a multitasking guru.
I'm out of control. I am off the hook. So, Kelly, thank you very much for joining me today.
Of course.
And John, thank you too.
Pleasure.
And I'm so glad that we made it through a complete show with both of you on, and I didn't get your Jeff, you're wrong bell. So I'm considering this day a win.
Ferguson references will come. Don't worry.
Oh, they always will.